Amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight, and praise the Lord for the testimonies and everything that took place last week at Senior High Camp. There's no doubt there was rejoicing in the presence of the angels, amen, over each one of those that got saved, over all those decisions being made. And now is the tough time. Now is the time that you go back into some of those influences. When you go to camp, you are isolated from all that, and you have more of a presence of the Spirit of God that you can listen to and be moved by. And so definitely want to prepare for going back and just continue to follow through with the decisions made, and we'll see God giving you strength to do just that. If you have your Bibles tonight, go ahead and look with me to the book of Acts in chapter 27. Acts in chapter 27. And they did very well on giving testimonies and the time frame that was given them. It was a blessing to see that take place as smoothly as it went. And on Sunday nights, we've been preaching and teaching on what the Bible reveals to us about angels, a study on angelology. And as we're going into that, we're looking at where angels came from and the existence of angels. We've already studied that. The Bible has much to say about they were created, and God created them for His purposes, and they're ministering spirits. Every angel is a ministering spirit. They're not human, amen? They're spirits, all right? And so humanity was the only part of God's creation that was created in His image after His likeness. And we have not only spirit, but we have soul, and we have bodies as well. And so we have eternal spirits, eternal souls. And so it's a blessing to understand that. We do not turn into angels. Angels do not turn into humans. And so we've been looking at all those different things. And there's a lot of philosophy. There's a lot of personal testimony as far as your own personal experience. But we've not been going into any of that. We've been just looking at what the Bible teaches. And as we see what the Bible teaches, God wants all believers to be aware of everything He has revealed to us in the Scriptures about a heavenly kingdom and angels being a part of that. Last week we looked at Psalms 103 and verse 19, in particular that verse, and the Bible says, "The Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens, His kingdom ruleth over all." God ruleth over the earth from a heavenly kingdom. And we studied about heaven being the third abode. It's not a place of out and outer space. It's not on another planet. It's a different dimension. But it's a third heaven, the third atmosphere. And God is ruling all things from heaven, from His throne in heaven. As He rules all things from His throne in heaven, He does a work through His angels. And I believe that's what God has revealed to us in the Scriptures. When you understand the presence of angels, it gives somewhat of a calming peace. And you understand that the presence of God is always there, and the presence of spiritual angels are always there. And the Bible reveals that they continually pass from this dimension of heaven to this dimension in this atmosphere of earth. They continually, all the time. And what a blessing it is to know that. And there's more angels than you or I could count. And everyone has angels that God has assigned to you as a believer. And so God does work through angels, and we need to be aware. God wants us to be aware of that. Well, in the book of Acts in chapter 27, Acts in chapter 27. Go ahead, if you will. Once you find that, stand with me. We're going to be reading verse 21 down to verse 25. How do they minister to us? That's a thought that we're looking at tonight. Going to be answering that. Acts chapter 27. We find here Paul's on a ship in the midst of a typhoon. No one thought they were going to make it off that ship. Not only Paul, but all the other passengers on that ship, the soldiers, none thought they were going to make it off of that ship. They thought they were going to die in the middle of that typhoon. And we find here in Acts chapter 27, verse 21. But after long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship's. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, "Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." And let's pray. Father, we bow before you. Thank you, Lord God, for what we already experienced as being in this place of service here tonight. Thank you for your presence. And now as we look into your word and we study this idea and what you've given to us concerning angels and angelology, I pray, God, that you'd open up our hearts and our minds to receiving what you have for us. And I pray that you would empower the preaching and thy teaching once again of thy word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So we find here that the angel brought Paul some good news and reaffirmed to Paul exactly what God's will is. We find here that Paul mentioned, he said in verse 23, "For there stood by me this night the angel of God," okay, "whose I am," not the angel, but God. He is God's servant. We've already studied, and Paul would have been aware of, angels are ministering spirits. And so he is looking and he's saying that there was an angel of God, but I am a servant of God, whose I am and whom I serve. And this angel said, "Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee." And then Paul said, "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. I don't believe angels." That's not what he said. Angels are not to be addressed. I believe God. That angel was just a ministering spirit that brought Paul to this awareness of God's message that God wanted Paul to receive. So whether Paul actually saw or even spoke to this angel is not known. But clearly, Paul was given a message from God through this ministering spirit. Amen. That's what we learned. That's what we see here. This is still the apostolic age, and we know that things were a little bit different. They didn't have the completion of the Word of God at this particular time. Today, we have the completed revelations of God. That is huge, because this is all the knowledge that God wants us to have. No angel is going to come to you and give you something that's not in this Bible right here. You're not going to receive any more further revelation. There is no other revelation from God to man than that which God has completed in the Bible. We need to make sure that we understand that. And so because there's a lot of false doctrine out there and there's a lot of false philosophy and they're thinking that they're receiving things from spirits that are not in the Bible, and they want to tell you what that spirit has for you to know. Don't listen to that, because God has given to us his completed revelation. Everything that God wants us to know is found in this Bible. And so praise the Lord for that idea. Paul knew that, and Paul said what he received from the angel was from God. The angel was that messenger of God. And he revealed to him God's message. Not only do we have the completed revelations, but we also have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That means God has taken up residency in each and every one of our bodies. Our body is a temple of God because God dwells within us. And God's Spirit can bear witness with our spirit at any moment, at any time. And he does that. But as we study the scriptures, we still know that God still works through his holy angels. If you will, look in Hebrews in chapter 1 with me. Hebrews in chapter 1. Never lose sight of what God has revealed to us through his word. There are no other revelations from God to man. He has placed himself inside of each one of us. God dwells within us in the presence of the Holy Spirit. That's a given, the New Testament church age. We know that to be a fact, but we still see and study the scriptures where God is still working through these ministering spirits to those who have received him as their personal Lord and Savior. In Hebrews, in chapter 1 and verse 13, "But to which of the angels said he at any time, 'Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool?' And they are they not all ministering spirits sent forth," okay, sent forth, ministering spirits sent forth from God, "to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation." Who's an heir of salvation? Everyone that's been saved. If you're saved here tonight, can I tell you that God has ministering spirits that he's going to work through in addition to the revelations from the scriptures and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit? However, God wants to work through them. He works through. He wants us to know that we have ministering spirits that God has sent to us and that works in serving God to minister to us. Amen. Now, understanding that, go with me now again, Hebrews chapter 13. So what does the Bible reveal about how they minister to us? Angels are invisible to the naked eye. If God would give us ability to see into the third heaven or the dimension of the heavenly kingdom, we would be able to see as Jacob did, seeing angels ascending and ascending, coming from one dimension to the next dimension into this present earth. We would be able to see the angels all around. As we find that Elisha did in his servant, we would see those beings, those spiritual beings, those ministering spirits are all around and they're innumerable. And they have a job to do in serving God by ministering to us. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 2, it says this. It tells us, let brotherly love continue. He wants you to do that. And he says, to give you a little incentive to make sure that you have a love one for another and that you're willing to love even a stranger and being able to share the gospel with a stranger and that you don't put yourself above anyone, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. That's in the Bible. That's for the New Testament, church age. So angels are invisible to the naked eye, but evidently they have power to become visible at times, but only when we are unaware. But they can, and they do. That is something that you never know. So whenever you're out and about and somebody crosses your path and the Spirit of God inside of you says witness to them or minister to them or something, you never know. It could be an angel unaware. Now, unaware because God does not ever want you to address an angel. That is not their purpose. We are not to be able to know them by name. We are not to pray through them or through any saints. We have Jesus Christ to look to. We have and we pray in the name of Jesus. And we have God the Father to look to. They are serving him. And so they do not want recognition. We want to, whatever they do in our lives, is to give recognition to Jesus Christ or to the indwelling of the Holy Spirit or to the God the Father. But they do that so that we will give glory and praise to the Trinity of God, to God the Father, and to God the Son, and even to the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. They minister to us through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit of God that dwells within us. But they do it in many ways. Again, what God has revealed in the Bible, he wants us to know about. And so what things has God revealed to us and exactly just how they might minister to the believer? We know they do because we just read the verse. They're sent to minister to all that are saved. Well, we have the text that we read tonight. Go back there with me. Acts chapter 27. Paul, everything looked like they were all going to die. They were in the middle of a typhoon. Paul had already been warned by the Spirit of God to tell them not to travel because it was not safe. They did not listen to Paul and his counsel, and they went anyway. And so Paul reminds them of that, not because he wants to be built up. He wants to remind them of that to know that God knows what he's talking about. I'm a servant of God, and you've already heard one message from God through me, and that was we should not sail. And they disregarded that message. And so Paul reminds them, you should have listened to God to start with, but now that you didn't and we're in this situation, and everyone here believes you're going to die. You don't see any way of living through this typhoon. And he says, be of good cheer. Yeah. Because Paul was encouraged by the angel, he could encourage the others. I don't know where Paul's faith was in the middle of that. Amen. I mean, Paul was a man of faith, but he was also human. And looking around, there is no human way possible that we're going to get out of this. And maybe I'm going to die and to go to be with the Lord. And he already knew the thought that for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. So he was thinking, well, it wouldn't be all that bad. But then he was encouraged and reminded of God's message to Paul through an angel. He sensed the presence of an encouraging spirit. Again, I don't know that he had to see it. I don't believe that he actually had a verbal conversation with this angel. But he knew that God's presence was there. And his presence was in the form of this ministering spirit. He sensed the presence of an encouraging spirit, and the spirit reminded Paul of a promise from God. Verse 24, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. Paul had already been told that he was going to be used to address kings, and he was going to be used to take the gospel to Rome, and he would be brought before some of the people that no one else would have had an opportunity to witness to. And God had opened a door, and God was leading Paul to Rome so that he in Rome could have a witness for the cause of Christ. And on the ship there, when everything looked dark and bleak, it didn't look like he was going to be able to make it off of the ship, Paul was reminded, oh yes, I've got a promise. I can't die now. There's still more that God told me he wants me to get done. If God told me that he's going to take me to Rome, then I don't have to worry about anything because I'm going to Rome. And the angel just encouraged Paul, and he encouraged Paul to be reminded of the promises that God had made him and told Paul, rejoice, be of good cheer. And he said, Paul, not only are you going to make it to Rome, but you also have this insight. Everyone on the ship, as long as they do what you tell them to do, they're going to survive. And there will not be any lives lost. And that's exactly what Paul stood. Paul was encouraged and reminded of the promise of God, and he was able to stand and say, I had an encouraging spirit. We could stand and say, you know, I just was reminded about a certain passage of Scripture. And this is the counsel that I'm going to give you in your circumstances based on what the Bible says. And Paul said that, and he said, be of good cheer. You're not going to die. I choose to believe God, and we're going to make it through this. We're going to lose a ship. The ship's going to be destroyed. But if you do as I say, and I'm telling you to do what God tells me to do, if you follow God's instructions, there's going to be no loss of life. Yeah. Can I tell you, in my years of being saved, and especially in the 40 years of ministry, many times I've sensed this same thing. I've never talked to an angel. Never seen an angel. But I have sensed the presence. And it's usually a time that I needed to be encouraged. It's usually the time that I'm going through some tough things, whatever it might be. And then something inside, it just like a fresh breath air. And I sense an encouraging spirit in me. And then I'm reminded of something that God has given to me. I can't tell you how many times that's happened to me, but it's happened to me many times. God wants us to be aware of that. Just to know that there is not only Jesus Christ has told me he'll never leave me nor forsake me. I've got the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But there's also the presence all around me of ministering angels. If you're aware of that, can I tell you, in your darkest hour, you can find a little bit of peace. In your darkest hour, you can say to yourself, be of good cheer. Because I'm reminded about the promises of God. Yeah. God wants you to know about it. They minister to us by encouragement, by giving us a sense of God's presence. How they do it, I can't tell you that. I just know that it happened with Paul. Same ministering spirits today. They guard and they protect. Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 10. Jesus was revealing some things about anybody that would offend a child of his. And he says in verse 10, take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. I want you to look right there. Their angels, personal and plural. Every child of God has angels, personal and plural. Isn't that what Jesus said? He's presenting everything about this New Testament church age. He's revealing to us truths concerning spiritual things. Psalms chapter 91. Are you aware that you have guardian angels? And they always are watching out for you as a born-again believer? That awareness is something God wants you to know. In the book of Psalms, we find here in Psalms chapter 91, verse 11, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. To keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. They're able to keep you from dashing your foot against a stone. An angel can do that. That's what the Bible says. That's not what I'm saying as a pastor. That's not what the Baptists believe. That's not what some. This is what the Bible says about angels. Psalms chapter 34. Psalms chapter 34. Verse 7. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. I believe when there's something that an angel does to deliver us, God will give you a sense of understanding something just happened out of the ordinary. I don't think I would be here tonight if it wasn't for an angel of God that helped me. And I could go back and there's many situations. And again, I'm not telling everyone's got a personal angel story. I understand that. But understanding their presence. I was on a motorcycle and I was traveling a lot faster than I should have been traveling down Shaylin Avenue. And I was going back to work. I worked at Bob Baker Chevrolet, still there in the body, auto body and frame repair. That's a long time ago. It's at a lunch break, and I'd just come back, and I had a souped-up, high-powered motorcycle, and I just got into it, reared the front wheel up, took off. I was traveling a lot faster, and there's a car that pulled right in front of me. I thought about laying it down so that I wouldn't go into it and fly all over the car. But I remember traveling probably 80 miles an hour. And all of a sudden, I just laid it over, swerved around, and pulled it back up. I felt the bumper come across that motorcycle. That was right before I got off there. I'm right before the dealership. And I remember pulling into that parking lot thinking, I should have just died. I should not have been able to maneuver that motorcycle going that fast to miss that car. And I had a feeling come over me where God says, I just spared your life. I didn't hear it, didn't see it. In my spirit, I knew that God had just delivered me from dashing my foot, from taking my life. Now, should I have been traveling like that? No. And I was thinking that very same thing. God, I didn't deserve to be spared. I remember thanking God for sparing me. I couldn't hardly walk. I was a nervous wreck because I knew I should have died that day. Angels. Guardian angels. Yeah. They guide us. They guide us. Not only do they guard and protect us, nothing can happen to you outside of God allowing it. Even in your own ignorance and rebellion, nothing can happen to you outside of God allowing it. And God did not want to allow that to happen. Praise the Lord for that. He had future plans for my life. Acts chapter 12. Because they're sent to minister to believers. They're ministering spirits sent to minister to believers. Listen to me, that's reason enough to get saved. That's reason enough to put your faith and trust in God, knowing that nothing can happen to you outside of God allowing it. And God has angels that can watch over and guard and protect. Acts chapter 12. Peter. They just killed James, the brother of John. Herod had. He seen it pleased the people. He arrested Peter. Peter was going to be next. He was going to appease the people by killing Peter. Verse 5 it says, and Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord. A messenger of God's came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise quickly, and his chains fell off from his hands. Well, they can poke you in the side. They can even unlock cuffs and open prison doors. Now that's God doing that, but he's working through angels. Amen. It was an angel who was doing it. And the angel said unto him, guard thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him and wist not that it was true. I don't know that he heard the voice, but the Spirit's bear witness with his spirit. Somehow he got the message to get up, put your shoes on, and follow. Go out the door. Yeah. And so he did. And he said unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him and wished not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through the street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectations of the people of the Jews. Angels led Peter, even without Peter being able to possibly even see him, being able to hear him, but he knew exactly what he needed to do, knew exactly where he needed to go. Amen. That's what the Bible reveals to us. That's another illustration of how God works through angels and these ministering spirits. Don't try to look for one. Don't try to speak to one. Don't acknowledge one. Just understand when there's a need, God can give you. And he can lead, guide, and direct you as you have need to be led. What a blessing to know that. Acts chapter 8. I'm not going to be much longer. I'm going to wrap it up here. But this is just very interesting. I mean, it's powerful stuff to know what God wants us to know about angels. And it's in the Bible. Acts chapter 8. Philip. God said, I want you, I've got someplace else I need you to be. And so he sends an angel to lead him. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Now Philip was doing a great work where he was at. But there was something that came over him, and he knew God had something else, somewhere else he wanted him to go. And he arose and went. Behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of the authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge over all the her treasure, had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit saith unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. Do you see there? First of all, it was the angel, but then as he got to the chariot, it was the Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit. Well, I'm saying God can actually, his Spirit can bear witness with your spirit. The Holy Spirit of God can direct you. The Holy Spirit of God can lead you, and he will. But he also uses angels. I don't care how it's done as long as I know it's getting done. And to know that God has many resources just gives me a greater sense of comfort. It gives me a greater sense of peace being aware of ministering spirits, the holy angels of God. Know this. Again, God's angels will never lead us opposite God's will. We're going to get into demonology, and I guarantee you there's evil spirits that will lead you opposite God's will and even appear as an angel of light. If you're not careful, you will listen and you will be guided by an evil spirit. We have to understand the word of God to know that God's not going to lead us opposite his word. If you hear any spirit, anything, any inclination to go opposite God's word, you get out of that situation, run away from it, because you don't have the presence of a ministering spirit of God's there. You have an evil spirit that's trying to hinder the work of God. One more. They battle spiritual hindrances. Spiritual hindrances, Satan, evil spirits, that would keep us from God's will. Perfect illustration, Daniel chapter 10. We're going to close with this. Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10. I know this is Old Testament, but it's the same as God is unchangeable, ministering spirits. God chooses how he works and uses them. But the Bible says, Daniel chapter 10, verse 11. This angel came to Daniel, and the Bible says, and he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. So an angel was sent from God. God, okay, he has set up his throne in heaven so that he might rule over all. He sends an angel to Daniel. And he says, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard. And I am come for thy words. He came as an answer from God to Daniel. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia. Now we're talking spiritual king of Persia, which would represent Lucifer. Withstood me 1 and 20 days. 21 days, it was a spiritual battle, keeping this messenger of God, getting the message to Daniel. But lo, Michael, one of the archangels, one of the chief princes, came to help me. And I remained there with the kings of Persia. This is spiritual battles taking place. This is what God wants you to understand. There are spiritual battles taking place even today, even in this room, tonight. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. Now drop down to verse 20. Then said he, knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee, and now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia, and when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come, but I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth, and there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael your prince. What am I saying here? What's the Bible revealing to us? There's spiritual battles. Isn't it a blessing to know, even though there are evil influences, evil spirits, and the Satan himself is the prince of the power of the air, isn't it good to know, even when there's that much evil in the world, you have angels fighting spiritual battles for you? We don't have to take it out and pinpoint every time that they fought and all the. We just know that they are there, and they are fighting spiritual battles on our behalf. Before you ever yield to that sin, there's a spiritual battle taking place. Young people, can I tell you this? When you go back to your regular routine, you go back to school, you go back around the same young people you've been around, listen to me, there's going to be spiritual battles. There were spiritual battles trying to keep you from making decisions at camp. And their spiritual battle is going to be taking place when you go back home, when you go back to your neighborhood, and you get back around some of those old friends and old ways, and there's going to be the temptation to get right back into the way it used to be. Understand that you have help to keep you on track. You have the Word of God, you have the Holy Spirit of God, but you also have angels, ministering spirits, that will help you to do the right thing. And with their help and with their presence, you can do the right thing. It's a blessing to know I can. No matter what kind of spiritual influences are around me, no matter what kind of spiritual battles I have to fight, I can do the right thing because not only greater is He that is with me than he that is in the world, I've got ministering spirits. I have guardian angels. And there is more on your side than on his side. Yeah. I've got to give you one last one because I think this is the way to quit tonight. Luke chapter 16. Verse 22. Jesus given insight into spiritual battles when a person dies. The lost man died and went to a place of hell. But the saved man, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels. God said, I want you to view that. I want you to be aware of that. When that believer died, he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. You see, it's angels who escort the spirit of believers into heaven. I believe God wants us to know they're present at the point of death. I've been in many of hospital rooms at the bedside of those that have died, holding hands, praying. When my first experience this is when my father passed away. My dad died when he was only 59. I walked in, I got there right as he took his last breath. And in that room, that hospital room, you would have thought that I would have fallen apart, thought that I would have been just very emotional and overwhelmed. But I walked into that room. I sensed a presence. A presence of understanding. My dad was saved. Understanding that he was in the presence of the angels. He was being carried from that hospital room into the presence of God in heaven. God gave me that when I walked into that room. He made me aware of the spiritual aspects of what had just taken place. And understanding the spiritual aspect of what had just taken place, I had an overwhelming sense of peace. Did I want my father to die? Did I want to not be able to have fellowship? No, that was, I should have fallen apart. I should have been, but God gave me an overwhelming peace, just understanding his presence. And since that time, I have sensed that very same thing at the death of every born-again believer that I've been bedside with. My sister, my brother, family members, church members. What a blessing to know. The spiritual is real. And God wants you to know certain things to be able to give you this peace and this comfort and this strength to keep going on. Yeah. The presence of angels. Being ministering spirits, God wants us to be aware of. If I could have every head bowed. God doesn't want you trying to building a relationship with an angel. He doesn't want you talking to an angel. He doesn't want you listening. He wants you to acknowledge him in the presence of the angels. He wants you to be aware of him when you sense that presence. Give all honor, praise, and glory to Jesus Christ because they serve him as ministering spirits. Father, we bow before you tonight. Love you, Lord. Thank you for the truth of your word. And thank you for allowing us to have this understanding of the spiritual life and the spiritual presence of angels. May it continue to be used to be a comfort and help to each one of us. For this we ask in Jesus' name.